Welcome everyone here to the meeting today. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion for in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber will be brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I'll bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, C for a comment, P to propose, S to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messages. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make during the meeting. Have any apologies today? Mothers? Okay. Any declarations of interest? Okay. And item number three is our action sheet from Active and Healthy Communities Committee held on the 11th of August. Page number one, page two, and page three. Any comments? Have a proposer and seconder, please. Proposed by Councillor Jackson and seconded by Councillor Finn. Item number four is Council of Sanctuary for decision, and I'm going to hand over to our officer, Alison.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you have a report before you on Council of Sanctuary. The purpose of the report is as per the Council meeting on 7th July 2025. It was agreed that a report would be brought back to this committee outlining the process for Council of Sanctuary, what it means, including the charter for the Council of Sanctuary, to alleviate any concerns that people had. That information is attached to the report. And I don't propose to speak to the report in detail. But members are asked to note the contents of the report and consider the recommendations in section 3.1 in relation to Council joining the City of Sanctuary Local Authority Network and working towards formal recognition as a Council of Sanctuary.
Councillor Murphy.
Thanks. Thanks for your report. I read the report in detail and satisfied that all points are well covered, and I'd like to propose your recommendation.
Proposed by Councillor Murphy. Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, could I just like to draw attention to one of the key issues in this report, 2.0, 2.1, where it says that the City of Sanctuary Initiative closely aligns with the Council's statutory responsibilities under Section 75 of the Northern Ireland Act 1998, particularly in promoting equality of opportunity and fostering good relations. Chair, the report states that the Council of Sanctuary Initiative aligns with Section 75 duties. However, Section 75 requires more than alignment. It requires screening, equality impact assessment, and public consultation before policy adoption. I just want to know, where is the equality impact assessment and consultation published record? And if these do not exist, would caution against proceeding tonight with this report, that it would be in breach of its of its statutory duty under Section 75. So I'm just asking, firstly, can we see the equality impact assessment results? And then just on behalf of myself and the rest of our DUP group on Newry Moreland Down District Council, we just feel that the move towards becoming a council of sanctuary should not be on the agenda. The council's existing policy is more than sufficient to cover these matters, and a move to a council of sanctuary would or could empower outside bodies which aren't elected by the people to dictate policy within this council, and there's simply no need for that. We're in the middle of an immigration crisis, and those parties that choose to ignore this issue or stay silent are simply not living in reality. Public services are already at breaking point, whether it be health service or the education service or the Department of Infrastructure. Families that have special needs children can't even get primary school places for their kids, as there's no facilities due to budget constraints. So, I mean, if you'd asked those parents where our priority should be, they would certainly give you an answer. I don't believe that there is support amongst our ratepayers in Newry Moreland Down District Council for a council of sanctuary, and they have genuine concerns about the impact of illegal and uncontrolled immigration and the impact that is having within their communities. There are other councils across the UK who have scrapped plans for membership of this movement after they sought community feedback, and I just think people have really had enough of this kind of nonsense. So I therefore will not be supporting this report tonight, and we'll be voting against this council joining the City of Sanctuary Local Authority Network and working towards a formal recognition as a council of sanctuary. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Ben, you want to come in with a comment?
Yeah. So I'd just like to say I'm pleased that this report has been brought before the committee this evening, as in part it acts as a tool to counter some of the myths and disinformation that has been proliferated, particularly in online platforms, over the last number of months. The Council of Sanctuary Network will position the Council to be at the forefront of best practice across the UK and Ireland, aligning it with other leading organisations in Northern Ireland that have already received sanctuary awards, such as Queen's University Belfast, Belfast Health and Social Care Trust, and over 42 schools. The recognition of this award does not give Council any powers over immigration or who may choose to live in the area, and it must be made clear that any decision about immigration, asylum and dispersal are made by the UK Government and Home Office, not local councils. What a Council of Sanctuary focuses on is how people are treated after they have already arrived here. This focus is not just one of humanity, but it is one which seeks to ensure that community is strengthened with new and old residents, creating relationships based on shared values and understanding in their communities. It is important that this debate is grounded in facts, and I hope to outline some of those below. As I previously mentioned, Council does not control immigration, and this proposal will not change that. The placement of individuals in asylum accommodation is, as I previously said, managed by the Home Office and its contractors. Asylum seekers who do choose to come here are not living in five-star or luxury hotels. They are accommodated in designated hotels, the number of which in Northern Ireland is currently 3, and none are located within our council area. Asylum support consists of a standard weekly rate of £49.18, which reduces to £8.86 per week for someone having their meals provided to them. And as of March 2024, there were 63 people in receipt of asylum support in Newry Moreland Down. As a council, we will not and do not determine immigration status. That role, again, lies with the UK Home Office. However, it is important to point out that seeking asylum is not illegal under international law. The Council of Sanctuary movement cannot encourage asylum seekers to come to our district, as refugees do not have control over where they are allocated a home. This movement is designed to ensure that the small number of people that are either undergoing Home Office applications or have been granted residency status are placed in the UK by due legal government processes and provided to help them integrate in our communities. There have been, however, concerns raised with me, as Johnny has mentioned, regarding housing, education and healthcare. And in truth, I share many of these concerns. Since 2017, Stormont has been collapsed for 5 years with the challenges of COVID to deal with in between. Things have not improved since the return of the executive, and people are well within their rights to be angry about this, because I'm angry too. Our health waiting lists are among some of the worst in Europe, with no credible plan to fix them. Patients can't get access to GP services.
Families here are still paying the highest costs of childcare across the UK and Ireland, and there's still no comprehensive scheme in place to address this. Children with special educational needs are left without support and school places, while the Minister last week dedicated time towards diluting rights of another fragile minority in Northern Ireland. In 2024 to 2025, 1,504 social homes were started, well below the executive target of around 2,000, and our wastewater infrastructure crisis continues to be a major obstacle in tackling our housing crisis. I could go on and on and on. However, the point here is that the frustrations that I and so many others feel regarding our public services are not the remit of this council, nor are they caused by the people choosing to make their home in our district. They remain within the remit of an executive that is failing to deliver for people. This proposal this evening seeks to continue making our district a welcoming and open place, something that I already know Newry to be and know it will be in the future. Newry Morningdown is home to people from many different walks of life and dozens of nationalities. These people are not only our neighbours and friends, but they work in our schools, they staff our GP surgeries, care for our loved ones and help keep our local hospital open. And in fact, our health and social care system, stretched as it is, simply would not function without the dedication of people from a wide range of ethnic, cultural and national backgrounds. We owe them more than just thanks. We owe them dignity and respect. Newry is a city proud of all of our residents, all of those people who make our communities what they are, and the SDLP will continue to celebrate and support this.
Flynn. No other comments in the chamber or online, I see. Okay, I'll hand over to the director for a response.
Thanks, members. If I could just come back, Chair, in relation to Councillor Jackson's point on Section 75. Members will be aware that Council has a statutory responsibility under Section 75 of the Northern Ireland Act 1988, particularly in relation to equality of opportunity and fostering good relations. At this point in time, Council has been asked to join a network and work towards accreditation, not to formally seek accreditation. This initial recommendation has been equality screened and passed the Council's Head of Corporate Policy. It will be reported in Council's quarterly policy screening report for the period July to September 2025 and will be uploaded to Council's website. We will continue as officers to review and carry out our duties in relation to both equality and rural needs.
We have a seconder for this. Councillor Jackson, go ahead.
Just very briefly, thanks, Chair. I just feel that we actually need those results before proceeding even on this early stage.
Any asking for a recorded vote? Rally, go ahead. Remember to use the chat facility. Councillor Rally, can you hear us? I'll go to Councillor McGuinness first.
Yeah, Chair, sure, and just happy to second proposal of Councillor Murphy.
Councillor Riley, can you? You're on mute, so if you're looking to speak.
Sorry, Chairman, I know the debate's over now, but I just wanted to know who initiated the contact? Did we contact City of Sanctuary or did they contact us?
Thank you, Councillor Riley. I can confirm that the City of Sanctuary movement did not contact Council directly with a view to lobbying us to join this initiative. It was something that Council officers felt was a good alignment with our work in terms of ethnic minority work, social inclusion and good relations. Thank you.
So, Chairman, the Council initiated the contact, is that right then? So it definitely was the Council that initiated the contact.
Okay. Recorded vote.
Sorry, Chair. Mark Evans here, just I have the hand up there, Chair.
Remember to use the chat facility, because that's what I'm looking at. I believe Councillor Lewis as well is looking in. Councillor Lewis, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I know that I'm not a member of the committee, so thank you for indulging me. And just I want to ask the officers what the Council feels would be the benefit of Newry Morning Down joining this and scheme, and what this would bring to the district that we don't all really have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. That information is all contained within the report for members' consideration.
Councillor Gibbons. Oh, sorry, Councillor Lewis, you want to go ahead?
Nope, that's okay. Thank you.
Councillor Gibbons.
Thank you, Chair. Just for Alison, just to clarify, there's going to be no public consultation on this issue, such a big issue that it is. Can I just clarify that?
Thank you for your question, Councillor. At this point in time, because all we are doing is joining the network in terms of sharing good practice, we have carried out an initial screening exercise, and we will continue to monitor our equality obligations, and that will include the need for public consultation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Councillor Jackson.
Yeah, no, just to reiterate the serious concerns, and within that, you know, I think the public has a right to be involved in the process, even at this stage. I think it's important an issue that should be. That consultation needs to be there. So, okay.
Okay, that's all. Call for a vote.
Councillor Bowsey.
Against.
Councillor Brennan.
For.
Councillor Devlin. Councillor Finn. Councillor Galbraith. Councillor Gibbons.
Abstain without a public consultation.
Councillor Howell.
For.
Councillor Jackson.
Against.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
For.
Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Mathers is an apology. Councillor McAvoy.
For.
Councillor Declan Murphy. Councillor Kate Murphy.
For.
Councillor Truesdale. Is 12 for, 2 against, 1 abstention, and 1 absent.
Okay, moving on to item number 5 is Broccoli Multisports Hub Review. Hand over to Connor.
Thank you, Chair. This paper in front of the committee today is in regards to a recent review carried out on the Multisports Hub from the 2021 document. It's looking particularly in the Crotlieve area and the shortfall for 13 one-hour slots for training for particularly Gaelic games and for associated football. The attached report is in the document itself, and I seek recommendation to proceed with the allowing the Council to work in partnership with St Mark's School and Warren Point to develop a 3G Gaelic full-size pitch, and also to assist the Newry Rugby Club with their plan applications and the development of Telford Park.
Okay, Councillor Murphy.
Sorry, happy to propose.
Proposed by Councillor Kate Murphy. Councillor Declan Murphy.
Second that.
Proposed by Councillor Declan Murphy. Any other comments or questions? Okay, item number 6, the Brony pitches for decision. Connor again.
Thank you, Chair. This report from the committee tonight is in regards to the development, proposed development within Kilbrony Park in regards to upgrading the soccer pitch and the GAA pitch. The report is there with the background details of the recent letter received in December from our planning department, concerns over four of the policies, and also from recommendations for further investigation works to be carried out by the NIEA. To date, £120,000 approximately has been spent on consultants works with view to get it through planning permission. The recommendations is below for in front of committee to decide which to go. One is to allow the planning application to go forward in its condition as is. Two is to carry out further consultancy work, initially estimated at £20,000 to £30,000. This could increase depending on further questions, queries from NIEA. Or the third option is to withdraw the application, plan application, and allow us to look at works that would be allowed within permissive allowance, which the facilities themselves. Sure.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? Councillor Tinley.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you for indulging me. I'm not a member of this committee. Chairman, I contacted each of my colleagues last night on the committee, and just without going back over that contents of that email, because I do hope that they all took time to read it, and I do thank those that contacted me today in relation to it, but I just want to double down on the contents of that email, Chairman. It's inconceivable for me as a councillor for Croagh Leave area, particularly in my home village of Forstarver, the council would even be contemplating pulling the plug on this project. Although we're now into the fifth year, the planning process, there has been a lot of progress, Chairman, that for some reason has come to a shuddering halt in the past 18 months. But the bigger picture for me is Pauline Wright, a historic wrong stroke grievance in relation to the decades of broken promises that have been given to the people that I represent, the people of my home village. But bear in mind that this, hopefully if members agree to move forward with option two, and we do see this thing through to the end, bear in mind this will be a council facility, not a facility owned by any clubs or any individual clubs. And in that regard, it's an investment, Chairman. £20,000 or £30,000 in the overall context of things is loose change, you know. This is a council that operates with tens and tens of millions of pounds per annum. So I just double down, Chairman, on what I said in my email. There's nothing, as far as I'm concerned, within the planning concerns that I have become aware of that cannot be dealt with or cannot be mitigated against. And I just would ask members here to realise the significance of this moment. This is not just a vote to say we don't agree with that. Here's the vote. Let's move on. The decision that's about to be made here will have generational implications for the people of my village and the wider Croagh Leave area.
Chairman, I thank you for indulging me and I thank members for listening to me.
Councillor Finn.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I guess just to say we would be, the SLP would be in support of recommendation two here. I think option three actually is quite limiting in relation to the works that can be undertaken. I would like to get, if possible, Connor, just the answer to some questions. Just in relation to have the conversations that have been kind of had around this, has, you know, the applicant spoken to planners? Have they spoken to NIEA? Because I think if you're saying we're going to carry out consultancy work, it is kind of predetermining to say that some of those issues will already exist if those conversations haven't been had or have been had. And I think we shouldn't be limiting taking this project to its full potential before we've actually had the consultation on it, particularly given the impact. And I know GAA for All have been in touch with all of the councillors. I think they make a really compelling argument that this, we need to go with option two and explore this further so that this project can reach its full potential. So the SLP would be supporting the second recommendation, but I would really appreciate if we could get just a sense of where the conversations between the parties are.
Councillor Jackson.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, no, just to say, we're happy to support option two. Okay, thanks, Chair.
The proposal? And seconded by Councillor Jackson, option two. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not over the detail of this. I'm just bringing myself up to speed on it. But like Newcastle, this battle seems to be decades old. Ross River struck like Newcastle between mountains and sea, or in this case, Loch. The letter, which I think all councillors now received, has, well, when I wrote this morning, it was 1,200. It must be more on there now. And what concerns me about this whole project is the time it's taken, the costs involved, and the lack of accessibility provision. The lack of accessibility is well laid out in this letter here, so I won't repeat what you already know. I would like the answer to two questions, which is NIEA requested further information in October 2024. It's now September 2025. Why has it taken so long for such a long time for this information to work its way back around to committee? And second question, a figure has been attached to the project of $2.2 million, yet the CAPEX OBC figure was $1,685,000. 2 years ago, which included $333,000 for a change in pavilion. So that pavilion's now been removed. So in the space of 2 years, it's jumped 60%. So what are those figures stacking up like? We would be of a mind to support option two, so that this can be explored to its full extent. Thank you.
Councillor McAteer.
Thank you, Chair. And again, I'm not a member of the committee, so for allowing me in. I suppose I'm a Crotleaf councillor and don't live too far away from Ross River. And I know quite a number of the people there and the fraternity there in both the Gaelic and soccer interests. But Ross River is a very unique village and area. But it's home to protected woodlands and within an area of outstanding natural beauty, but also landlocked by its geography. It's this very special place to those who live there and those who visit there. The statutory authorities treat it as such, and this really is the issue, I think, that is delaying matters with policies that are protected much of what it has to offer. So it automatically follows that development there will be difficult. It's difficult not only for the local clubs, the GAA club and the soccer club there. It's not alone difficult for them as voluntary organisations to achieve what they've been trying to achieve for many years. And because of the nature of the geography, it's not always possible even to, in this particular instance, even to see through some of their plan applications that they've already been approved. And this is because of the nature of Strabber. It's a very condensed, very small little village with a very vibrant population. But for that reason, therefore, and that's why I'm making this point, is that we must persevere to deliver the facilities for Strabber on a par with elsewhere. And it is incumbent upon council to do this, because as I said just a moment ago, the local community finds it difficult to put, and we're talking about the amount of cost here to do that, but why don't the people of Strabber deserve what we all the rest of us have throughout the whole of Crotlieve? And so I think a diluted scheme would be seen as an absolute insult to Strabber and its inhabitants. So for those reasons, I think we must persevere and engage with all the council as the applicant in this case, must engage with its planners. The planners in turn must engage with the Northern Ireland Environment Agency and other other items of interest, other people of interest, authorities in interest, to try and get this moving, because I think it's sitting stagnant, and we as councillors should be demanding that it's brought forward. We demand that action is taken on this, and that the powers that be are made to engage and encouraged to engage, because I think that's the way forward. The way forward is to support the option two.
Councillor Gibbons. Hi.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, option two is the only option. The people of Strabber have waited far too long. The clubs have waited far too long for this. We have, I think the council have been in ownership of these pitches for just under 50 years. When you think of that, you think of the different facilities all in around the district. Strabber has been sold short all the time. So, yeah, option two, I think the club members of the club, of the soccer club and the GAA club, are sick of their children changing in ditches on the side of the pitches. The lack of facilities for anybody with any children with disabilities, lack of inclusion. So option two can be the only option. And yeah, I agree with what everybody has said tonight. We need to get this over the line as soon as possible.
Thank you. Over to the director for a response.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Probably come back to Councillor Finn's question. There has been ongoing, you know, consultation between ourselves and the planners, and we've regularly reached out to NIA in regard to some of the details that they were requesting. The option two, please note that it is still, you know, that piece of work will be carried out to try and carry out the surveys and whatever the NIA requests, and it still doesn't address the planning department's concerns in regards to the project. The costs that Councillor Truesdale had stated there, from 1.68 million going to 2.2, that's the most recent figures that we have received from QS looking at the site. That also includes changing pavilion. Changing pavilion was taken out of the planning commissions because of its concerns, what have you, but we still see it as a need and requirement on the site itself. So there's still a budget, now £350,000, for a change in facilities within that 2.2 million. So they are true reflective costs that we have to date to deliver the project. That clarifies the questions.
Option two through. On to item number 7 is the DAA forum update report. Hand over to Alison.
Thank you, Chair. Members, you have the digital electric, sorry, electoral, not electric. Oh dear, it's one of those things. DAA forum update report is before members, and the purpose of the report is for members to note it and consider and approve the actions and the action sheets attached to the report listed in 3.1. I don't propose to talk to the report, but happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Any comments? Can I have our proposer, please? Mr. Finn, seconded by Councillor Jackson. Item number 8. Over to Alison. Consultation response on the executive's anti-poverty strategy.
Thank you, Chair. Members have a report, and attached to the report is Council's proposed response to the executive's anti-poverty strategy. We have attached both the consultation and the strategy itself, 2025 to 2035. Council officers were also involved in an engagement session with the Department for Communities in relation to this, and many of the comments contained within the response have been generated as a result of that engagement. Whilst officers recommend that we broadly welcome the strategy, we have highlighted a number of issues and concerns which are set out in section 2.2 of the report. In particular, it's felt that further detail is required on how collaboration will be embedded and operationalised across sectors. It lacks detail on quantitative, qualitative and time-bound indicators to ensure that there's meaningful evaluation and progress. We feel that there is further consideration required to reflect geographic inequalities, and we'll know that from within our own district. We feel that many of the actions reflect programmes and initiatives that we're already familiar with, but it's really clear how this is all going to link together, and it's felt that DFC should engage meaningfully with all the stakeholders to identify gaps and avoid duplication. It's also felt that the strategy doesn't adequately reflect the role of councils and the role that we play in terms of community planning and anti-poverty action. We feel that a bit of work's required in terms of reflecting that. Whilst the strategy does acknowledge the role of the community voluntary sector, consideration should be given within the strategy to how this sector can be financially supported in a reliable and sustainable way. Members of this committee will know the annual issues that we have in terms of our community support programme, and particularly funding for the social supermarket, which carries out such vital work across the district. It's also felt that gaps remain in the data relating to carers, health inequalities and updated deprivation measures. And finally, in terms of the delivery, it's not clear how this is going to be delivered. Indeed, DFC itself does not seem clear in that. And we feel that there should be consideration given to the role of Council's Community Planning Partnership and existing work that's carried out to ensure that we don't create another series of bodies and that it's aligned to our existing work and structures. Happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Councillor Devlin.
Yep, thank you, Chair, and thanks to Ali for the report that's before us this evening. In 2025, the poverty stats before us are actually totally appalling. As elected reps in our role day and daily, we see the impact of poverty and the ripple effect it has. It affects every fabric of a person's being. In 2025, it really doesn't have to be this way. Like the Executive's Programme for Government, this draft strategy is far too broad. The people of this part of our island have waited nearly 20 years on an anti-poverty strategy, and what is before us is lacking. It's lacking in detail, lacking in action, and lacking in targets. As a society, we just deserve better. This strategy represents a missed opportunity to deliver the scale of intervention needed to tackle poverty in our communities. For too long, families in Uri, Mourne and Down have been living under immense pressure from rising costs, low wages, and cuts to services. We needed to see a bold, ambitious plan to lift people out of hardship. Instead, what has been produced lacks focus, resources, and urgency. As a party, we fully support the Council's draft reply before us. Any strategy must be capable of being measured. That should be a basic. The executive must listen to the community and voluntary sector, as this sector does immense work every single day. And I suppose I want to emphasise the importance of not just simply consulting, but actually listening too, as these groups are fighting poverty every single day, and their views on this strategy should be given immense weight. I know, Ali, you mentioned there the various presentations we received to this committee. I'm really afraid to mention a few in case I leave some out, but we know the work of Citizens Advice in Erie Morning Down, you know, with the social supermarket last month, the month before, County Down Rural Community Networks. The list is endless in terms of the expertise and the knowledge that those groups have. So it's just so important that that's taken on board and is factored in that bit better. As a party, the SCLP has been consistent in our criticism of this strategy at Assembly level, and we're echoing those concerns here this evening. Poverty is not an abstract policy issue. It's the daily reality for thousands of people in this district. Children going to school hungry, parents choosing between heating and eating, older people isolated because they can't afford to participate fully in community life. Any strategy that fails to properly address those realities is simply not good enough. I suppose, Ali, I just want to thank you and your team for sort of the excellent work that's been put into the submission that's before us this evening. We're very happy to support it. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Goes by Councillor Devon, is that right?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this extremely comprehensive response. It's an excellent response. Just two comments to make. On page 13, you said the role of local councils is not well reflected within these actions. Councils have experience of local knowledge and trusted relationships to deliver, and I believe that's absolutely spot on. It's an excellent comment to make within that consultation response. The Minister has already heard from numerous groups and political parties that the draft poverty strategy lacks specific targets, a detailed action plan and provisions for independent monitoring, measures that would have provided a much stronger foundation for progress. So it's good to see those points raised in the community, council consultation response. It needs clear outcomes and targeted interventions if we are to provide real support to those who absolutely need it. I just want to make one comment. Which I believe is impacting families and children and which I couldn't see in the consultation. On Pillar 3, outcomes, training and further education, we are seeing a huge rise in emotional-based school avoidance, and I believe Cathy Mason has been working a lot on this. We have to face the fact that some students do not manage in school for a variety of reasons. I couldn't wait to leave, but further education needs were met by the brilliant CERT campus in Newcastle around 300 years ago. These days, I cannot find that CERC are offering A-levels in Newcastle or Downpatrick, and our current education minister is mooting that children, students, stay in school until the age of 18. Now, CERC offer a variety of courses, but they may not translate on the equivalency tables to what the universities want. Colleges offer more freedom, more flexibility, no uniform expense, that's a big thing. There's a more relaxed atmosphere within colleges. There's bigger and more varied social groups, smaller classes and support assistance. So I do feel that not being able to do your A-levels in this district in CERC is having an adverse impact on students who are experiencing anxiety-based school avoidance because these students are starting from extremely difficult circumstances to begin with to try to work their way up and out of poverty. But thank you for an excellent report.
Have a seconder?
Happy to second.
Councillor Truesdale. Okay. Session. Item 9 is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3, part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. I have a proposal going to close session. Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Declan Murphy. Matters in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 9, programme delivery partner. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Declan Murphy, seconded by Councillor Kate Murphy, to approve the contract extension as outlined within the officer's report. Item number 10 to 11 are for noting. Item number 10, anyone got any comments? Devlin, go ahead.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. I suppose from the report that's in front of us, it is very clear that the fight for a leisure centre in Newcastle has certainly been protracted. It's been a very long road, and I suppose one that we want to see completed, and the leisure centre that we all deserve in Newcastle. It's also clear that available land in Newcastle remains the issue, and I suppose that's land that's already zoned for development and doesn't flood. And considering those two points and the report that's in front of us, I suppose no other site, from what I can see, does exist for a new leisure centre in Newcastle. But I want to clarify maybe one thing. Over the last number of years, I suppose, a number of landowners have approached me, you know, for the potential of land outside the town boundaries they would like to see included in the new area plan. If we were to halt the current course of action in terms of redeveloping the current centre, I'm not suggesting that we are, but could you maybe, Andy, outline the risk associated with waiting for land within the new area plan to be zoned outside the town as leisure? I suppose my question would be, is there a risk associated with that, and also what delays could that potentially add to the project?
Thank you, Chair. So, certainly, as officers, we couldn't recommend that Council consider another site at this time, given the risks associated with potentially relooking at the site. The Member's absolutely correct in that all of the timeline there and the surveys that have been completed in that time have brought us to the stage where the Newcastle Centre is the preferred site. You know, put it simply, I suppose, if we were in a process of looking at other sites, we could be talking about an additional 5 to 10 years on the project timeline. And I understand members' frustration and that of the public, particularly in and around Newcastle, of getting this project moved on. We're very near the point of getting a consultant team on board to push the project on and get us into the planning process, which will be a key milestone for the delivery of a new centre on the site. So it would be very much officer's recommendation at this time that we stick with the current location, and we'll be consulting with members, councillors and members of the public once we have that consultancy team on board to look at the various options of that on that site in terms of the design and what could go on it. So that's sort of where we're at the moment.
Okay, Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. I'm really disappointed that this item is for noting, as it's a serious spend on a project that deserves discussion, as the people in Newcastle have waited on this for ever. I'd like to make a proposal. My proposal would be that this item is brought back into committee with evidence of sites that were scoped and the reasons for their rejection. Thank you.
Do you have a seconder for that?
Mr. Sergio.
Are we all in agreement? Ms. Finn?
Yeah, it's just a very, very quick one. Just in relation to the play strategy, and just to welcome the work that has been done on the Derrybeg and Morneview Parks, because I know that they'll be massively welcomed by residents in the area. Can I ask, and it's in relation to accessible play facilities within Kilbroney Park. Can I ask what facilities are currently in place within that play park? I'm aware that it's potentially just a basket swing at the minute, but if there's any other kind of plans in the works to add any other equipment.
Stick with item number 10 first. Councillor Andrews. Okay. And Councillor Devlin.
Mine's actually item number 12 as well, Chair, okay. Sorry, skip them ahead.
And Councillor
Truesdale. Confusing you. I've ruined everyone. Sorry.
We're all in agreement with Councillor Truesdale's proposal then. Okay. Item number 11. Any comments? Councillor Devlin.
Well, sorry, Chair.
Turn your mic off there.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, our proposal for item number 11 then. Councillor Lee Sargentner and a seconder. Councillor Declan Murphy. Item number 12, any comments? Councillor Gilbreth.
Thanks, Chair. Just in relation to Killoch here, there's a real need to transform the former play park. admit Millfield and Coloch as equipment becomes obsolete. In the absence of communities for it to be a useful space, as such, you know, enclosed kickabout space for football, maybe, or basketball, provide training space for local sports teams. But just wondering, is there an opportunity to bring it into this year's programme through underspend? And at the minimal spend compared to a new play park at the location, as there's already one at the Quay, I should probably raise as well that there are issues in relation to health and safety at the Millfield play park area. But could the transformation of it be the multi-use but be considered this year, as in the report, move forward with the transformation?
Councillor Devlin.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's just regarding, again, the play strategy, and I suppose just to welcome the Islands Park being on the list for the start date of the 13th October, and the officers from the list. Considerable time, and it's great to see actually a date beside the park itself. And just one question, in terms of actually the work that's going to be ongoing, is there a time period, maybe, Chair, through you to Connor, for how long that work will take and when we will see new sparkly play park? Thank you.
Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I do welcome the news and update. And this paper advising us of what play parks, etc., are going to proceed in the year ahead. You know, it's all fantastic to the communities and residents of what has been listed for people, but in the next for a while, and, you know, and other DEAs are in the same boat as ourselves. We have a lot of existing play parks that were installed and upgraded in the previous mandate. You know, the former Councillor Charvin and myself, whenever we returned vice chair of AHC, along with others at the time, lobbied for and secured play parks, but I know at this stage some are needing some TLC and upgrading, but I know Councillor Galbraith has touched on if there's any underspends, if we can get money out of the under the floorboards or anything, you know, is there a possibility of the necessary works replacements and upgrades that have been listed above and additional ones, can they be put in the mix as well to take place? So I look forward to that. Thank you very much for all your help.
I'll take officers and manage a few questions there.
Thank you, Chair. So, just in regard to the club, to the kickabout, it was the previous play strategy were identified to relocate and build a new one in the village itself. The intent that the other play park would just, through its natural life and as things break, it wouldn't be replaced. We are looking at, you know, reserves, and that's an opportunity that whenever the strategy and all is delivered, we'll go back and revisit and have a look at these projects. Then in part one for Councillor Devon, George, the minute the contractor has manufactured the equipment, it's already been manufactured and made, so it's got to be transported. The works itself has appeared between 6 to 8 weeks from on site. As they're on site, it should be finished in that 6 to 8 week turnaround as quick as possible. PLC commentary that Councillor Andrews asked, yes, I agree that there's a lot of new parks were built in the previous in Rowland, but again, it's down to the usage of them does time to time, and there is an ongoing maintenance plan is being put in place at the moment to have a look at them in regards to what poor replacement and what have you in time. So there is an ongoing piece of. And sorry, Councillor Finn, you were requesting about
Kilbroney Park, an accessible play facility. I think there's a basket swing, but I'm not sure if there's anything else. And I just wondered if there are any plans to add any more accessible facilities in the park.
Kilbroney Play Park that sits outside this department's responsibility sits under ART, but the current strategy itself did look at it and made recommendations to some form of upgrade, and it wasn't full replacement looking at the park itself. What's within the strategy? And
Thank you, Chair. It's just really to echo Councillor Andrews' comments, especially in Rowallan, as I've certainly had constituents contact me in relation to like so strictly where young families and the park is not fully accessible to those with special needs. So basically they're asking me, when is that happening? And you know, I've reached out. So yes, please don't forget about Rowallan, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I have a proposer for item number 12, please? Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Thank you. That's all. Goodbye.